Can you just put that picture up for us, please, Beth? Great. Has anybody been watching the remake of Roots on BBC Four? Has anybody yet? Yeah, one or two of us. I haven't actually seen much of it. It's been on through February and March, I think. But I read the book a long time ago, so I know the story very well. It's about an African boy called Kunta Kinte, who lives an idyllic life in West Africa, the Gambia, actually, in the 1760s. But one day he's kidnapped. He never sees his parents again. He never sees his home. He never even sees his homeland again. He's taken to America, and he is forced to work as a slave on a plantation in Virginia. And he has no freedom. He's in chains, just like these chains on the screen. He tries to escape a couple of times, and after the last attempt, his master disables him. His master cuts off half of one of his feet so that he can still work, but he can never run away again. Kunta Kinte is allowed to marry, and he has one precious daughter, Kizzy. But she learns to read, and reading is not allowed. That is subversive. And so she is sold at auction to another plantation, and Kunta Kinte never sees his daughter again. She becomes her new master's plaything. It's very grim. Through her master, her new master, she becomes pregnant, and she gives birth to a boy called George. And as George grows up, it is found that he has the most extraordinary gift for training cockerels to fight. And cockfighting in 19th century America is a very lucrative pursuit. And so George becomes known as Chicken George. That's his name. And one day, he goes with his master to this huge cockfighting gathering. And in his madness, this master bets his entire estate on the outcome of one fight. And he loses everything. This master is facing ruin. But the other side have realized what a prodigious gift George has for training cockerels. And so they say, "You can keep your estate, but we will have George in settlement of all your debts." All his life, George has dreamed about just one thing: freedom. Freedom. But he's taken away in chains, and he never sees his wife again. He never sees his children again. He never sees his mother again. It is a terrible thing to be a slave. It is a terrible thing to be enslaved to a cruel master. Freedom or slavery? That's what this bit of John is about this morning. Freedom or slavery? And it's incredibly challenging, okay? So just look down with me. I want you to notice that at the very beginning of the first reading, Jesus is talking to Jews who had believed him, who had put their trust in him. They are on his side. But by the end, did you notice verse 59, these exactly the same people are picking up stones to stone him. That's quite a progression. Was it something I said? Yeah, it was. Now, I don't want to be stoned this morning. Okay, I don't literally want you to throw stones, but I do want you just to feel the weight of the misery of slavery. Here's the big point. This is what this passage is about. Okay, the world says, be true to yourself and that will make you free. The world says, look within, be true to your inner self, and that is where you'll find true freedom. The world says, if your heart says do it, then just go for it. And Jesus says the opposite. He says, be true to me, and I will set you free. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, if you are true to what I say, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. To which the world says, to which we say, and please understand, the Jews here stand for you and me. The Jews here think that they are very, very religious. And we all like to think that we are very religious. The Jews here think they are very good, morally upright, decent people. And frankly, we like to think we're like that, don't we? The Jews here think they are free. We think we are free. And Jesus says, no, 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 I will set you free. To which we say, verse 33, I don't need to be free. I am free. I mean, I live in Hayton Road, Denton. What could be more free than that? To which Jesus says, no, you're not free. You think you are, but you're a slave. You're a slave. Now, the irony is, at this very, very moment, the Jews are under Roman occupation. They're not free at all. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He says, verse 34, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. He's talking about a much deeper, much bigger sense of slavery. Let me give you a couple of examples. Just see which one of these fits. They all fit me. I wonder which one fits you. As you look at the coming week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, what do you think you need this week? Put it another way. What makes you tick? Put it another way. What sun does your planet revolve around? Put it another way. Where do you find your garden of delight? Put it another way. What lights up your world? Put it another way. What food sustains your life? Put it another way. What really matters to you? Put it another way. What are you living for? And you will find that whatever the answer is to those questions, whatever the answer is for you, you will find that thing rules you. It rules you. That thing or that person is your master. You live to serve it. It might be work, it might be pleasure, it might be security, it might be health. It might be your friends, it might be your popularity. Do you know, for some of us at the moment, it might even be table tennis. It might be happiness, it might be a trouble-free life, it might be money. If that's what you are living for, it is your master and you are its slave. That's what Jesus is talking about. Let me read you this quote about money. I love this quote. It goes like this. Okay, is this you? It might be me. I like money. I like it. It makes me feel secure. It makes me feel comfortable. I like it, so I serve money for the blessings that it brings me. If you have money, you can protect yourself. If your car breaks, money will fix it. If you get ill, money can get you the best treatment. Now, this is the bit I like. If you lose something, money and its co-master, insurance, can make sure you get it back again. It is the God substitutes thing again, isn't it? The Bible calls these things idols, and we serve our idols in just the same way a slave must serve its master. We're not free. We're not free. And what's more, slavery is unstable and it is unreliable. So verse 35, Jesus goes on. Verse 35. A slave has no permanent part in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Do you know, just going back to that story, roots, I told you, didn't I, that Chicken George's master was also his father. Okay, but George was never treated as a son because he was never set free. He was always a slave, so he had no permanent place in the family, and he could be sold, he could be lost, he could be given away just like that. It is a terrible thing to be enslaved to a cruel master, and Jesus says that's what we are. That's what we are. For all our rights and for all our opportunities and for all our democracy, even after Brexit, Jesus says we're not free. Can I give you one more little example of the things that enslave us? I'm sorry, this is very close to my heart at the moment. It's been in the news, but you could have missed it. But the government has just announced big changes to sex and relationships education. SRE it's called, Sex and Relationships Education. And they're saying that it's got to be compulsory in all schools from the age of four upwards. Okay? And they're going to abolish the right of parents to withdraw their children from it. At least that's what the government want to do. Well, so what, you say? SRE? It's a good thing. Surely we need it. Well, here's the problem. Here's the problem. A couple of decades ago, we decided as a society to embrace sexual freedom. Notice the word, sexual freedom. We were enslaved to this outdated and repressive morality, but hallelujah, we broke the chains, we broke free, we're free. But are we? What does that freedom look like? That freedom has brought us things like sexting and revenge porn. You know, I don't even know what revenge porn is. I don't want to know what it is. But the experts tell us that we are being engulfed by an epidemic of it. An epidemic of it. But that's irrelevant. I mean, that's nothing, okay? That's not what's driving the government's agenda. The really big thing is sexually transmitted infections. They are increasing at such a rate, especially in the age group 15 to 24, that it actually threatens the health of women. So something's got to be done, clearly. But the government's answer is to impose more of its agenda, which isn't working. The government's answer is to insist that children as young as four must be sexualized so that adults can continue to live as they please. That's a quote from the Christian Medical Fellowship. I want to say to you this morning, that is not what I signed up for. Did you sign up for that? That is not what I signed up for, but that is the world that your children, my children, and our grandchildren are having to navigate. That is the reality of the world we live in. You see, Jesus is right. He's so right. The freedom we have, it isn't freedom at all. It is slavery. We're slaves to sin and we're slaves to the devil. Just look at second reading, verse 44. Jesus says, he's talking about the devil. Verse 44, he says, the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. You see, the world says, be true to yourself and you'll be free. But it's a lie. The world says, the sexual revolution promises freedom. But it's a lie. And all those things we listed, money and pleasure and health, they promise freedom. But it's a lie. It's a terrible thing to be enslaved to a cruel master. And you know, the real problem, friends, you've got to hear this, the real problem, this is the massive problem. A slave cannot free himself or herself. Kunta Kinte, he wanted to escape, but he couldn't. Chicken George dreamt of freedom, but he could not free himself, because a slave cannot free himself. A slave has to be freed. And Jesus says, I can set you free. Verse 36, this is the key verse. Take it home, put it on your mirror. Verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I'm not very creative, but this is what it looks like. Get the next picture there. Bang! He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. His blood on the cross pays the price of our freedom. You see, by nature, Jesus says we're thirsty. By nature, he says we're hungry. By nature, he says we're blind. By nature, he says we're slaves. But by grace, he says, when we turn to him, when we trust his promises, when we take hold of his teaching, that's what this is about. When we take hold of his teaching, we move from darkness to light. We move from ignorance to wisdom. We move from slavery to freedom. And we become sons and daughters. We become part of the family forever and ever. You see, once you've been adopted, you cannot be unadopted. It's a permanent change. Once Jesus has set you free, it's a change of status. And therefore, we have this incredible new potential. If the Son sets you free, you are not a slave to sin anymore. You are not a slave to sin anymore. It is not your master anymore. A life of slavery is not a foregone conclusion anymore. When we've been adopted as children of the King, all we have to do is live out the family likeness. So you know the story, don't you, of Annie? Remember Annie? The little orphan girl living in New York. She's living in this dirty, filthy orphanage in New York in the 1930s. And she's set free from the orphanage and she's brought to live with this billionaire in his palace called Mr. Warbucks. Okay? And when she arrives, all the staff are gathered in this enormous entrance hall of this palace to welcome her. They're all there, loads of them. And she's in her dirty orphanage clothes. And Mr. Warbucks' secretary says to Annie, "Annie, where would you like to start? Where would you like to start?" And Annie looks around and then she says, "I think I'll do the windows first and then I'll do the floor." And everybody starts laughing. They're all laughing because she's not there to clean the windows or the floor. She can live now as the daughter of a billionaire. What's the point of going back to cleaning the windows? What's the point of going back to slavery? Jesus has set us free. He has brought us by adoption into his family. We can go back to living as we did before. But we don't have to. And why would you want to? Why live as a slave when the Son has set you free? I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy. You see, the mastery of sin has been broken, but not its presence. Do you understand? You still sin. We've got to be realistic. We still sin, and change is very slow. But you know what? We can be optimistic. Jesus has broken. He's broken the chains that enslave us. I just want to give you one more Charles Wesley quote because he's so fantastic on this. "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus, and all in him is mine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ alone." Do you know, read Charles Wesley. He understood it. He really did. I pray we would. Amen.